Good morning, church. Oh, it's been a deep, deep, saturating session this morning, eh? But it's such an honor to be here. Pastors, welcome back. God's been doing something deep in our heart as a family. I know we come into this year and we came back from a holiday. And we had this session where we say we're going to dive into searching God for His holiness. And it's always such a scary place to be. As we say, Lord, come and set me apart for Your holiness. And sometimes we think as holiness for just some people, the super religious, the super spiritual, the guys with the super long prayers. And we think these are that holy ones that are set apart. But God had set us all apart to be a special people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people that is set apart for Him and for no other. Amen. So we're landing the plane today in our Set Apart series on holiness. And what a journey that's been. This will be our last session. As we will dig into the complete holiness that God has for us. That He says, I have to go away and leave you behind because I have to go to my Father's house. Because in my Father's house are many rooms, and I need to go and prepare a place for you. I need to go and finish this package deal that I've set you apart for. It is my complete holiness that you could say, I want you to be holy as I, the Lord, am holy. Amen. And I was thinking a couple of days ago, what does holiness mean to me? And how do I embrace this journey of not just partly holiness, but complete holiness? And I remember at one stage in my early Christian days, when I was still very much brave, because you don't count the cost, you just dig deep into it. And we were about four guys, and we heard the Lord says, I want you guys to go and fast for 40 days. And so I'm thinking 40 days, after 40 days, I'm dead. Because at that time, I was a very skinny dude. So I was already just skin and bones, and here the Lord is calling me to fast for 40 days. But some of our reasoning is because our theology wasn't that deep, and we just said, if Jesus could do it, we could also do it. And so we embarked on this journey of fasting and praying. I can remember after the end of that 40 days, we had kind of like a special celebration. We had some connections where they smuggled some luxury food into the prisons. And as we're sitting and breaking this fast, the four or five of us were sitting in a circle and we were praying. And as we were praying, I felt me moving out of my body, and I could see it, and I could feel it, and I could experience it. I'm out of my body. And when I opened my eyes, I'm entering this room that was filled with these big glass tiles. And right there at the center of this room was this massive, big, bright light. But I could feel that this is God's presence. But without nobody saying anything in this room, step by step, I'm being lowered and lured to this light and to this presence of God. And I felt in my heart this invitation to come. But the place was so holy, it was so, that I immediately became aware of my own sin. That I started reasoning in my own mind that I am unholy. That I come from unholy people, as Uzziah would put it. And as I was starting to unreason, to reason in my own mind that I'm not worthy to be in this presence, I was zapped back. Suju, can I get a little bit of water, please? I came back into my body and I looked around and I saw that I'm amongst normal people. But I will never forget that I experienced this invitation to come and draw close to me. Even this holy, holy place, God's extending His invitation to me to come as He is holy. But because I felt I didn't fit that box, I couldn't stand in His holy presence. I didn't understand the work of the cross yet fully. I didn't understand that Jesus had already paid the price for me, that He has torn open the curtain. And I think sometimes for us as a people, we too, we feel like that way. We say, Lord, but I'm still battling with this sin. And I'm still battling with this weakness. And I'm still battling with this disease. I'm not worthy to enter Your complete holiness. I'm not ready yet to enter that place because I'm not willing to lay certain stuff aside yet. But He comes and He continuously to invite us, come. I want you to be holy as I am holy. And He doesn't just say it to me in a vision, but He said it throughout His scripture, was this invitation for His people and for us in every generation to come. I want you to be holy as I am holy. This is an invitation. And earlier in our sermon series, we read that God gave us this perfect picture of His holiness and that somehow through the fall of man, we lost that holiness. But His invitation was constant. Come, I want you to be holy as I'm holy. Even though you won't get it right now, even though you will still fall tomorrow, even though you don't have the full pickets right, I want you to come and be holy. Embarked on this journey of holiness because at the end there is a goal and there is a price. We're coming to the end of this series. We're right through the series. We talked about this journey of redemption. This journey how we as fallen people, God had a plan. And that plan was to restore us to the full image of Christ. Jesus came and He was that model. But that model was not just for Jesus. It was for everybody that puts their faith in Him to come and be holy. Church, I don't know where you are at in your walk with the Lord, but that invitation is for you still today to come. I drive past that our shopping center there in Somerset West. Interesting that Hanre was talking about the building this morning. And for years I've been driving past and hanging out at that shopping center. And next to the shopping center was a big, big open piece of this land. And at some stage, they put a little board there that they're going to kind of like build something. There's that picture for you guys. That's so there was nothing. They showed us that pictures on top that they said they're going to build something new. They're going to build something nice. It's going to look good. And for some of the people that's living around that shopping center, all gets excited. Now I don't have to drive all the way to the mall. I have one just here right on my doorstep. And at times I was on that gravel pitch walking there. At times I was sitting in that shopping center praying there. But I was always memorized of this thing of coming soon. They put a board with all these nice pictures and they say, it's coming soon. So when we were looking for a house in Solaris Pass, there was also this type of thing of all these houses that they were advertising, and they had all these three models, and they say, purchase the house right now, but it's coming soon. So they want you to buy something and invest in something that doesn't exist yet, but we pay for it. We don't think, we don't have faith, we just said, ah, great opportunity, great house. I will invest all my savings, all my money into that, even if it doesn't exist yet. For me, it was always a difficult thing because I was always a person of cash at hand. I'll give you the cash, you show me the deal. But this was a thing of, and when I looked at it, it dawned on me, it is the whole faith journey. That I'm showing you something that will come, even though it's not there yet. And throughout scriptures, from Genesis up until the Revelation, we hear about this new city and this new place and this new building. And Jesus said, I have to go away to go prepare a place for you, but I want you to come because what I'm showing you is going to come soon. You can trust my word. I'm not a man that I should lie. It is coming. And we can take Jesus at his word. And I know at one stage Jesus was talking to Thomas, and Jesus says to Thomas, Thomas, you believe because you have seen the holes in my hands and the holes in my side and the holes in my feet. But blessed are those that will believe that haven't yet seen. And he was talking about the faith of mankind. Jesus says, if I return back to this earth again, will I find faith? Will I find you still hanging into the promise of what I said is going to come? That I'm going to have to go to prepare a place for you, but it is coming? And so every day we were driving past this place. And my daughter Phoebe would kept on asking me, so Papa, so when is it opening? I said, well, all they're saying it's coming soon. And so we would drive another couple of months and she would ask me, Papa, so when is it coming? I said, my baby, look on the board. It's coming soon. There's no date attached to it, but it's coming soon. So recently I went on their website because now I see the building started, builders are there, and the building project started coming together. So I checked on the website, what are their timelines? And then I saw they talked about phase one, phase two, phase three, the final phase. So phase one are being launched now, are opening the 1st of March. So those of you that want to come, this is not a promotion for Vergelegen, but any one of you that wants to come and join our part of the town, you are welcome. It's coming soon. It's not there yet. And sometimes I felt like that. I'm not there yet. I'm still dust. I'm still battling to get rid of the rubble. I'm still battling to get rid of the stones in my own life. I sometimes fall and I get dirty. I'm not there yet, but I'm coming soon. I'm going to be there soon. I'm going to be completed yet. I might not feel totally holy, but Jesus says, come. Come unto me, all those that are weary and heavy laden. Come, and I will make you complete, and I will finish you till the full package. But we need to have faith in this process of Him. Jesus came and He purchased. He purchased. He paid the price for our full redemption. The ransom price for you and for me. He paid it all even before you said yes to Him. He bought for you the price even before you said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will lay aside everything and come to you. You were purchased by his own life and his own blood while you were still a sinner. While I was still a sinner, God paid the price for me. It's like we're buying the piece of property. We pay the full money for the land and for the house, and then we come there and we ask, where's the house? Then they say, no, sir, your house is going to be on plot 520. This is where your house will be. This is how it will look. And then you say, okay, I've purchased the land. They're going to build the house, and I have faith that they're going to build the house. So Jesus did the same for you and for me. Some of us, we says, okay, we don't want him anymore. We can't wait long enough. And after he has purchased you and me, he modeled this journey of complete holiness. He showed us how to live. He showed us what to do. He taught us, and he says, and even if you fail trying to be like me, it is fine. My grace is sufficient for you in your weaknesses, that you can call again upon my name, and I will pick you up and I will put you back on this journey and upon this road up until completeness. And lastly, when he was on the cross and he hanged there, he said, it is finished. The whole package deal for your holiness is completed. The full package is there for you to take, because I bought it for you. I show you how to live. It is completed and it's finished, and it's for you and for me. But we have to finish the race. So yesterday I was at my daughter's, was this inner school athletics thing. And I was sitting right there. Tertia was sitting right in front where they have to run. And he played by me like a book when she ran her first race. And she was this. So Phoebe was very tiny and she had the short legs. So I knew it's going to be a difficult thing for her to run this race. But we kept on encouraging her, honey, even if you don't make it, even if you last, you first, you second, just complete the race. Don't worry where you're in this race. The main thing is to complete this race. And I can remember that day she was about, 4 or 5 years old. She was standing there, me being a proud dad. All the kids was already across the finish line. She was midway running, and I came running next to her, and I said, come on, baby, you can make it. And I was cheering her on, and I was running next to her on this lane. I said, come on, that's the finish line. You're going to make it. We're going to get there. And we ran, and she finished the race. And then after that, they had to jump in these little bags with their feet 2x2. Again, me next to her. And she held on to this bag, and I said, baby, don't worry, it's about the finish line. Don't worry how you get there, but as long as you get to the finish line. So she jumped, and the rest of the kids were wave beyond the finish line. She fell a couple of times. I picked her up, put her back in the bag, and we started jumping together up until we reached that finish line. And I always kept on telling her, since she was small, teaching her how to catch a ball, how to stand on a stage, how to talk in front of people, I said, always have your eyes on the prize. So when she would stand on something, I said, jump, I will catch you. Don't worry how far you will fall or whatever. I will catch you. Your eyes is on me. I'm the prize. Have your eyes on the prize. So my favorite thing to tell her is, Phoebe, is your eyes on the prize? Because if your eyes is on the prize, you will finish the finish line. And so yesterday again, my child is not very athletic. So yesterday we're sitting there, and we already knew what's going to happen, but we're sitting there, we're cheering on. And she kicked off with this race, and everybody was running. But she had to run the whole lap around the field. Halfway through the lap, the rest of the crew was finishing the finish line. But I saw her going. Hey, she didn't care about how many people were on the pavilion. She was running her race up until she reached the finish line. Sometimes we might feel that life will disqualify us. Sometimes we might feel like our own mistakes will disqualify us. But as long as we keep our eyes on the prize. And in this case, it's like a athletic people that they run this race. But they run it for that medal. They run it for that trophy. Soccer players, whoever. There's something in it that I want to finish it because in the hopes of lifting the trophy one day, getting the medal one day. Praise God, Bafana Bafana went through it, right? They got some medals after a long journey of failing and getting up and failing and getting up. But the belief was there. We can make it. We can achieve something. And they brought something home, right? God is offering us complete holiness. But He wants our eyes to be on the prize. Amen. Our last scripture in this whole story of redemption is found in Revelation chapter 21. And He says, "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne of God saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. And He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away.' And He who was seated at the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also He said, 'Write down, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. For the one who conquers, I will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. And in our case, our daughter as well." The first phase for us is that God says, "And I will bless my people. Because of your perseverance in this journey, I will bless my people with a new creation and a new city." Paul says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, "And behold, and God has made all things new. The former and old things does not exist anymore." And that word "new" means that God has made something that has never existed before. And even though your sin was so bad and your life, your previous life was so bad, God says, "I have made you new as though you have never existed before, as though you have never sinned before. All things have become new." And He's talking about this new creation. I'm going to make all things new. We see here that our first phase in this whole thing is that a complete inheritance in holiness. And our complete inheritance is that we are a new creation. And then God comes and He puts us in an amazing family. A family of people that has written all over them the love of God. Jesus said to the disciples, "So will the world know that you are my disciples, that you will love one another." And God puts us in this family of love. And then He says, "I will give them and I will bless them with a new city." And we think throughout Scripture, after the physical Jerusalem has fallen And we see in the story of Nehemiah and all over scriptures that time and time again that these old guys, they had to go back and repair the city halls. They had to go back and repair the temple. They had to go back and repair the worship. It was a constant thing of going back and fixing up. And Jesus says, but I will give you a new Jerusalem. I'm going to give you a city that nothing can destroy. No man can destroy. It will be new. We see how our cities are plagued with crime and murders and violence and stuff. But if you kind of like go to the rural areas, there's not that much crime. Most of the crime's happening in our cities. And sometimes we fed up of the cities and we don't want to be in the cities anymore. And we just want a little home on a farm somewhere where we can live rustig and have a couple of sheep and goats and play farmer. Wouldn't that be nice? But God says, you don't have to worry about a city that's going to be plagued with violence. I want to give you a new city, a new Jerusalem, where peace will reign throughout the city. From the one gate to the other gate, there will be peace. This is the inheritance that the Lord wants to give us. He says, I want to bless my people. Isn't that something to look forward to? Isn't that something to be excited about? That all the things that we are in now, that's plaguing us, that's pulling us back, that's creating stumbling blocks for us, God says, and all the things will be something of the past. I don't want to go back to the Sona speech when they said, and load shedding is now a thing of the past. And then the very same night, they upped the load shedding. But God is true to His promises. He says, and all those things will be something of the past, because I will make all things new. All things new. The second phase of our complete holiness is a complete covenant relationship with God. God is not looking for any other relationship with you, but a covenant relationship. He says, I want you to be holy as I'm holy. I want to show you this holiness. I want to model it for you. I want to purchase it with you. I want to give it to you as a gift, the complete package. But I want you to come into a covenant relationship with me. We are God's covenant people. We are people that He's set apart for Him. Amen. The Bible says, and God will dwell with His people in the new Jerusalem. Isn't that so amazing? I think of Moses. When Moses was crying, that Lord, just show me who you are. Just show me your face. And the Lord told him to go hid somewhere in this cave and I will pass by you. Throughout the scripture, we see this hungerness and says, God, we want you to live with us. We want you to be with us. We want a tangible Father that we can hug and can love upon us. And God says, and I want to bless you in such a way that I want to have such a covenant with you that I want to be with my people and that they will be with me. There will be nothing that separates us anymore. I would go into that room that's filled with His holiness, and I could walk proudly in that place without feeling I'm not good enough. I will come into that place where God says, come unto me, all those that are weary and burdened, and I just want to go and fall upon Him and give Him a hug and allow Him to restore everything in me. God says, I want to be with my people. As so much as we long to be with Him, in return, He longs the same to be with us. But there's a journey that we have to go through. Verse 3 says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." There shall not be pain, because he will be with us. Just his mere presence will comfort us. Amen. And then the third phase, it says that life will be completed for us. I think as a family that has lost a lot of people in COVID, and even yesterday spending a short amount of time with a friend of mine that also passed away with his kids, and after 3 years of him passing away, with a wife that's still mourning, still weeping, still crying, kids that's still longing for their daddy. Sometimes we just want to tell people, okay, we need to move on now. But it's so difficult when we go through that grieving process. But Jesus says, when you're there with me, I will wipe away every tear. There shall be no mourning for whatever was lost. And maybe we've lost a son to drugs, a dad to alcohol, a daughter. Maybe we've lost people that have been so broken in church that they want to do nothing more with God. Maybe there's a longing for things to be restored. God says, and it will be no more. He wants to complete your life. This is the end of his redemption story. This is the promise of God. This is the end picture. This is the trophy that he's holding in front of you. And he says, complete this race. Run this race. Complete this journey. And there will await for you a new heaven and a new earth, a new city, a God that will be with his people, and there will be no mourning and there will be no pain. But I need you to come into covenant relationship with me to persevere with you. I want to be that God that's running this race next to you, and I want to tell you, come, my son and my daughter, you can make it. Have your eyes on the prize. Have your eyes on the finish line. And when you fall, and God comes and he picks you up and he runs alongside with you. Isn't that something to become excited about? That is no longer just us battling, but life will be completed. But the Bible says, and he who was seated on the throne, behold, I'm making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. It is finished. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give them the spring of living water without any payment. Those who are thirsty, come unto me and drink, that I may fill your cup until it overflows. Those that are thirsty, and I know every nation gives lack of water. Right? It's always a joy to come here. Sometimes every Sunday, just want to put up my hand. Who's new? Me. Every nation gives good water. But God promises something better. He says, for those that are thirsty, I will give you water from the everlasting spring, and that you will never thirst for anything ever again. And sometimes we might thirst for a relationship to be restored. We might thirst for a financial breakthrough. We might thirst for poverty to end. We might thirst for violence to end. We have this thirst in us. God says, come unto me, and I will quench your thirst with everlasting water. And he goes on and he says, and the one who conquers, he that overcomes, will have this heritage. He says, and I will be his God, and he will be my son and my daughter. To the one that overcomes, to the one that overcomes the trials and the tribulations that this world is offering, to the one that overcomes the wars and the rumors of wars of this world, I have this heritage for him. To the one that overcomes and run this race, irrespective, 1,000 is falling at his one side and 10,000 at his other side, I will do this for him. This will be his heritage, that I will be his God and he will be my son. God has always had this picture of wanting to be a father for us, and he wants us to be his children, his sons and his daughters, that he says, come unto me and I want to restore you. This is what I'm living for. This is my everyday motivation when I wake up one day to pick up my cross and follow Jesus. It's not always easy. Not for me. Having a brief chat the other day with Pastor Pierre and Pastor Helena, and I've always thought they're these super spiritual giants. I'm sitting down with them, and the stories that we heard of families, strugglings and prayers and breakthroughs and being on their knees. And we realize that they too, every day, must make a choice to overcome, to run this race. They too have this end goal, this picture, that one day this must be my reward. Come, Jesus says, all those that are thirsty, come unto me. Come, all those that want to come, come unto me. Because I want to be your God, and I want you to be my son. Maybe there are some of you that has stopped running this race, that has got so tired and wearisome that you don't want to go on anymore, that you just sit. I just go to church and the fellowship is nice, and but there's no victory. Maybe there are some of you that's not on this journey yet, but that is hungering and thirsty for God to fill his cup. And you're trying to fill it with all sorts of worldly stuff. God is saying, come. And this morning, as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm calling you also to come. I'm calling you to come. I heard the excitement in Henry's voice when he talked about the new venue. And he says, guys, it's almost finished. It's coming soon. Just hang in there. I have the same excitement when I'm talking about the kingdom of God, this new Jerusalem, this new heaven and this new earth, this new creation that God is forming in us, this new family that he's adopting us into, this new city that he has prepared for you. I'm getting excited because it's not just for me, but it is for all of us. Don't you want to come this morning and be part of this race and be part of this journey? It might not be there yet, but it's coming soon. And in the scripture we read, he says, my word is trustworthy and true. You can hold on to it. I'm not just in his some sort of funny business partner that drops you halfway through this process. My word has been standing for all of ages. It is trustworthy and it is true. And you can bank your life upon it, because I gave my life for it. Don't you want to come? I want to have this moment. I just call the ministry team forward because I believe there's people that's hungry and thirsty that want to come. I really want to pray with you and trust God for you. Because we want to stand upon His word that's trustworthy and true. And like our building project in Vergelegen that has phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, and then the final phase, I believe in the kingdom of God is also our final phase. And our final phase is that your joy will be completed. Your joy will be restored. That you've been longing for this thing so long that when you get into it, you will have the words to describe the emotions that you've been feeling. My encouragement to you is to come. In Afrikaans sê ons altyd die main ding is om uit te stiek. In English, what it basically say, the main thing is to come. Irrespective of what your problem is. Irrespective of where you find yourself in this journey. Irrespective if you feel that your friends and your colleagues and whoever has already crossed the finish line. Jesus is saying, come. Amen. Come, let's stand. We will linger here for some time as we would like to extend this invitation. And maybe this invitation has been from the beginning of the year or years as we described and as we talked about our holiness that we once lost and how Jesus came and He restored it. And how He's inviting us to come and have a partake in it. But also the promise of what He's completed. He says, if I come back, will I find faith in this world? God wants to complete your faith as well. That your joy might be restored. Amen. And if God is talking to you, don't hesitate. Come. Don't care about the people on the pavilion. You come. And you run your race up until you cross the finish line. Amen. So Father, we just praise You and we worship You, Lord. Thank You, Father, Lord, that I can be number one that's saying, I'm thirsty for more. I want more of You. I want to be the first one that says, Lord, there's still some stuff in my life that I'm battling with, that I still need to overcome. There's still some trials and tribulations that I don't fully understand. Why is it happening to good people? But Father, Lord, You said, I'm a scum, Lord. I have this picture in mind, Lord, this promise, Lord, that You said, Lord, at the end, Father, there will be this new Jerusalem. There will be a new creation. There will be a new family. There will be a new city, Lord. The old things have passed away, and behold, You have made all things new, Lord. I want to be the first that says, Lord, here I am, Father, Lord. You touch me, Lord, because I hunger and I thirst after Your righteousness, Lord. Come and restore me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Come and restore me. Come and restore us. Come and give us the courage, the boldness. Come. Thank You, Lord. We just worship You. And we want to praise You. In Jesus' name.